exciting.
Welcome to the first PDGA Radio episode of 2023. It's Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen after a few weeks off for the holidays. So, you know, I've got to ask Jen, how did your holiday season go? You know, was it everything you hoped it would be?
Yes. We have been in Oklahoma, even though the weather's been where I never went outside.
That's true.
We did get to spend Christmas with my mother, so it was wonderful.
That's awesome. We had a good stay at home, mostly holiday season ourselves. Of course, part of that is because my whole family managed to get ourselves a little case of the Rona, but that's all right because most of the plans were just being together anyway. So we were together with slightly more cough syrup and everybody's doing just fine. So we wanted to share that with you all, the listener, because we also hope that you had a great holiday season. Now, right down to business, because the year is starting fast and furious. Just a couple of days ago, the PDGA released the Players of the Year and the Rookies of the Year for the 2022 season. It's always a sort of long-awaited moment to get to see how that's going to shake out. And Jen, it shook out well, pretty near what we expected, but I think a few are surprised by it. So let's talk about the MPO race first. If you're not aware yet, you can find it on pdga.com. The MPO Player of the Year was announced as Paul McBeth for the 2022 season. You can click on various links throughout that article, and you can even find the exact point totals for not only Paul, but also Ricky Gannon, Calvin Heimberg, and Matt Orem, and the rest of the top 20 and beyond. So, Jen, if you weren't aware, the gap here between Paul and Ricky was, I'm doing quick math in my head, it was actually more than 100 points.
Wow.
And yeah, and that point system, for those that don't know, of course, is set in stone long before the season even starts. So it's done with no mind being paid to who's going to start fast, who's going to finish fast. But it is done with a mind toward a couple of other things. And we wanted to explain those right now, since that's our job here at PDGA Radio. One of the things that gets rewarded a lot in the PDGA Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year standings is major finishes. Why? Well, because the majors, for the most part, are PDGA majors. So, of course, that's going to play a big role in awarding our yearly Player and Rookie of the Year. Secondly, the PDGA is about all events, not just Elite Series events. We're talking about majors. We're talking about Elite Series events, meaning the Disc Golf Pro Tour and the silver events, of course. But we're also talking about A-tiers. And so a player that plays an additional slate of events, a player that takes less time off, they're going to acquire more opportunities to win points. Now, at A-tiers, it's not very many points. You have to finish on the podium for one, and even then a victory only gets you 15 additional points. By contrast, at a major, you win a major, that's 100 points. At an Elite Series event, you win an Elite Series event, you get 60 points, which is equivalent to finishing fourth at a major. I know, Jen, that's a lot of math. I know that's a lot of math. But it does go to explain things a little bit. So knowing that now in the MPO side, the standings make sense, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Ricky took a little bit more time off, and we all saw Paul playing a lot of what we would call smaller events, those A-tiers. So that definitely makes sense that he was able to grab a few extra points to push himself to the lead.
Just a quick summary. Paul played 27 qualifying events. Ricky played 20. Gannon Burr, who finished third in the point standings, he played 30 qualifying events. Matt Orem, by the way, who finished in the top five, he finished fifth just behind Calvin. He played 29 qualifying events. So you have several different strategies sort of panning out in these various professionals in the ways that they structure their calendar in order to feel like they compete the best on the stages where they want to compete the best. And this year, this is how the points total shook out for the MPO Player of the Year. Now, Jen.
And we've seen that in the past, what we're about to talk about, FPO, you know, Kat plays so many events. Mm-hmm. And so we have kind of discussed this in the past when it gets right down to Paige and Kat typically, you know, battling for this title, that Paige doesn't usually play as many as Katrina does.
Yeah.
So interesting to see that now that's kind of playing into MPO as well.
So moving on to the FPO Player of the Year race, you know, interestingly enough, this year, Kat and Paige, who have been neck and neck for so many years, it seems like, they played the exact same number of events. There was another runner in the race, though, this year, there at the top. None other than, of course, Kristen Tatar. And when it all came down to it, that's right, our world champion. But when it all came down to it for the PDGA FPO Player of the Year, the award went to Paige Pierce. And it went to Paige Pierce by 65 points. Kristen, second, and Katrina, third. She finished about 55 points behind Kristen. So you can see sort of an equal spread there from first to second to third. And by the way, that sort of continues down through the top five, which, by the way, includes Owen Scoggins in fourth and Missy Gannon in fifth. Now, to go back to the way the point system works here in these races, and to explain maybe why a player can be the DGPT Player of the Year and a different player can be the PDGA Player of the Year, let's look first of all at majors. Paige played three majors. Actually, she played, let me run them down. Yes, she played, I've got three majors for Paige. She won two. She won the Champions Cup. She won the European Open. She placed fifth at Worlds. That's 250 points for Paige right there in majors alone.
Kristen, did she not play U.S. Women's as well?
I'm scanning down my list here, and I don't have U.S. Women's here as a point-earning event for Paige. I've just got the point-earning events.
She probably played at least five.
Yeah, the ones where a player played and earned points at that event. So Paige, 250 points alone by winning two majors, Champions Cup and the European Open. She placed fifth at Worlds. Kristen, she won a major. She won a big one. It's Worlds. It's 100 points right there. She also placed second at Champions Cup. There's 80. But Kristen missed out on the European Open due to injury. So you can see right there where a points differential is naturally going to happen through no fault of Kristen's and through no fault of anyone else who misses an event due to, say, injury or due to something else. It's just, it's the way a point system is going to work out. So in majors alone, Kristen, 180 points, Paige, 250 points. And then that kind of sensibility works its way through the rest of the point totals, because as we know, Kristen missed a couple of events with her elbow issue before she was able to come back and finish strong. She also missed an event or two due to travel issues related to COVID. If you recall, when we had Kristen on this podcast earlier this season, we talked about that and how that gummed up some travel plans and caused Kristen to miss an event or two. So
Kristen has such a strong finish that in our eyes, we see her as, you know, having an incredible year,
and she
which she did, and breaking records of earnings. But a lot of that was towards the end of the year versus the first of the year. So I think in, you know, the everyone else's eyes, you know, possibly seeing that, it makes them think, oh, she was definitely the strongest player. And they were both had incredible years, clearly. But I think that's where it sometimes in our eyes gets a little controversial of what we last saw.
That's true. You know, and Kristen had a good start to the year, third at Las Vegas, second at Waco, second at Texas State, and so on and so forth. It was that middle part of the season, I think, just due to volume that had some effect. Paige ultimately played and scored at four more events than Kristen did. Right.
Yeah, and that'll add up quickly.
That adds up really, really quickly. And again, I feel like I should reiterate, you know, just like DGPT's points and a lot of other entities that put out various, you know, their own versions of awards for players of the year, whatever they want to call it, you know, all of these point systems and stuff, they're done in advance. You know, everybody knows going in what it's going to take to earn the points that it'll take to finish as player of the year. Or let's go and check out Rookie of the Year. We've got two Rookie of the Year races. On the MPO side, it was Robert Burridge taking down the 2022 MPO Rookie of the Year. And I think it's safe to say a huge percentage of Robert's success came at one event, and it was that Des Moines Challenge, where Robert and Simon Lizotte went to a multi-hole playoff, which Simon eventually won. But that was a podium finish at an Elite Series event for a rookie, which does not happen every day. And I can tell you, looking back at historical standings of rookies of the year, going back year over year over year, there are a lot of years where just one or two high finishes at an Elite Series event or a major for a rookie, that's enough to take that championship. That's enough to take that win down. And it worked out for Robert. He edged Joseph Anderson and Dylan Sepulveda there in the Rookie of the Year standings. Also 2021's amateur world champion, Evan Scott. He took fourth in the Rookie of the Year standings for 2022. On the FPO side, it was Aria Castrueda.
Who I definitely saw at several events this year. So she had a big breakout year for sure. Such a young age.
She did indeed. She took points at a major, finishing seventh at U.S. Women's. She took points at a second major, finishing eighth at the Champions Cup. Took points at a couple of more Elite Series events. And here is where that A-tier factor comes in, that volume factor. Aria placed well enough to earn points at a handful of A-tiers. So that was what helped to push Aria Castrueda into that top position for the FPO Rookie of the Year. It was a closer race than people might have expected. Emma Arp, second by less than 15 points.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a close race. Emma, by the way, 38 potentially qualifying events.
Holy moly, is there that many weeks in the year?
Yeah. Yeah, and she managed to cash points in, it looks like about half a dozen, maybe eight of those events, but played in 38 events that would have earned points based on her finish. So Emma Arp, an exceptional year. Chantel Badinsky out of Canada, also in the top three. She tied for third with Chelsea Howells. So we've got a Canadian making the podium in Rookie of the Year. Congratulations, by the way, to everybody who just made the list, frankly, especially in the Rookie of the Year standings, because that just shows the future of the sport is in good hands. So we wanted to start the year off right by talking about our biggest announcement for the close of 2022. And now, Jen, time to look toward the future.
Time to look toward 2023. A lot of changes going on with everyone's contracts. End of the year, first of the year, it's that little, you know, what's going on, what's going to be new in the coming year. So we get to interview, whether we get an answer or not, who knows. But coming up next, Paige Hsu and Grady Hsu will be joining us. And that she definitely has an announcement coming up soon. We don't know if that'll be with us or not.
Yeah, the announcement regarding, of course, her sponsorships, correct? That's what you're referring to, because she's already made another announcement. She and Grady both have talked about how this year they're going back on the road with their daughter, who is almost 2 years old. They are going to go back on tour. And I think that's really big news, but we'll let them share that with you here in just a moment on PDGA Radio. One of our first episodes of the 2023 calendar year, Jen and I get to welcome in not one, but two guests who are really moving and shaking right now during the offseason because there are big plans for the future. Talking about Grady and Paige Hsu in the PDGA virtual studio right now. Guys, first of all, where are we talking to you from? Where are you right now? That's a sentence in some cultures. I don't know if I said it right. Where are you right now?
We're at home in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, so in the middle of kind of a disc golf hotbed that Charlotte maybe always has been, but I know we all know it is now with the number of courses and parks in that immediate area. So that's really cool. Do you all intend to stay there as a home base, or is part of this year's you know, many plans that that's going to change.
For the foreseeable future, we're going to stay here, but long term, we want to end up in Georgia, actually. So we'll see.
Nice.
But for the next few years, we'll probably be here for a little bit.
Paige, you went from one huge disc golf town to another, like Grant said, Charlotte growing into such a big disc golf area. You moved to Emporia, Kansas, which we all know is a ginormous disc golf mecca. How long ago did you guys move to Charlotte? A couple years ago?
August 2020, I think it was.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Nice.
In the middle of COVID, we were able to.
You all moved in the middle of a pandemic just like I did.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a smart move. It's a great way to make friends.
I know.
How is that moving from one town that's, you know, all they pretty much eat, breathe, and do is disc golf to Charlotte? Was there a difference in the towns?
Not really. In fact, I feel like when I was in Kansas, I wasn't playing as much as I'm playing here in Charlotte. But back in Kansas, like all my friends from college are there and my family's there. So I have a lot of other things like keeping me busy. But once we moved here, we moved in August of 2020 and I had my daughter in January of 2021. So pretty much most of the time I've been here, I've been pregnant or I've had a baby. And, you know, that takes up a lot of time. Yeah. So the disc golf I like better here in Charlotte because it's wooded.
Yeah, totally different courses.
Super windy. Mm-hmm.
And it's not super windy. That's significant.
Yeah. It wasn't a big change or anything.
Nice.
Well, before we came on the air, we were all chatting about the fact that there are, I think as of the end of 2022, as of December 31st, there's something between 130 and 140,000 active PDGA members. Historical membership is up near the 250,000 mark. But those that are current with their membership, something like 130,000, that's the most it's ever been. And a pretty big percentage of that 130,000, plus all the people that are playing disc golf these days that aren't members or aren't current with their memberships, a ton of them came into the game because of COVID or since COVID. And because of that, you know, Jen, you talk to people all the time on the road. I'm sure Grady Page, you guys do too. I have. It's part of my job. And I hear so many people that they've got a limited history of disc golf. They're really into it and they follow it and they know players and everything. But if you go back more than 3 or 4 or 5 years, their knowledge of that history becomes, I know that name, but they don't know, you know, the details of that person's up and comingness into becoming a pro or whatever, you know, stuff like that. And so part of this podcast is always going back into that and bringing people up to speed. And you guys are a perfect example of that. I know so many people that know who you are. They know Grady and Paige, but they don't like, they don't know y'all's up and comingness into the disc golf world. They don't know how long you've been part of it and that you're part of a bit of almost of a youth movement that became adults in it. You know what I mean? And so we want to go back to that maybe first, just to bring people up to speed. And I don't know who to start with, honestly, but so I'm going to let you guys look at each other awkwardly and decide, but can you give us a little bit of your backgrounds when you got into the game and how you came up into it. And then eventually we'll get into the boring stuff, like how you met and fell in love and all of that.
I'll go first.
You've been playing disc golf longer.
Yeah, I've been playing since 2006 or 2007. My parents actually found the sport the year I was born, 1996. My dad owned a t-shirt printing company and a tournament director from a disc golf tournament ordered shirts through him. And long story short, the guy ended up getting shirts for free and in exchange gave my mom and dad free lessons of disc golf. And this was in 1996.
What?
And so they started, playing. And then I have two older siblings. And as we got older, we got into other sports. So we kind of took a break from disc golf. But in 2006 or 2007, we moved to Denver, Colorado. We were from Texas originally. And for some reason, our family tried disc golf again, and it hooked. We got hooked that one time, and so I've been playing competitively. I think my first tournament was in 06 or 07. I got started young, and I don't think there's been a year that's gone by where I haven't played in at least, like, 5 tournaments or something. So I've been playing. I've traveled a lot with my family competing as well. even growing up, my parents played as well. So we'd go to tournaments around Colorado or even like surrounding states. And so traveling and competing has always been part of my life, pretty much.
So you were, that would be, you were like 10 years old ish.
Yeah.
Start. Okay.
Yep, I was about 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Grady, your turn. You said Paige has actually been playing the game longer than you. Is that just because she started younger or?
Both. I found it in like 2013, I guess.
All right. How old were you when you started? Were you like high school, something like that?
Yeah, I was, I guess I'd known about disc golf because I grew up like a minute from a park called Glen Hilton and Hickory. But I'd never played. I had like some discs that I got for Christmas one year, but I never used them. And then I think my last year of high school, some friends and I went out there and we started playing and we enjoyed it a lot. And we played it almost every day for, I guess, like the last semester of high school. And into that summer, we played a little bit. But then going into college, I didn't play at all. And it wasn't until 2014 when I transferred to UNC Charlotte. I found out like disc golf had collegiate events and they had collegiate teams at colleges. Then I kind of found like a group to play with, and a lot of my friends kind of played disc golf, and I found like, you know, the events and stuff, like tournaments and stuff, we started playing because collegiate disc golf is all about that, and that kind of got me on the road to where I am now.
Nice. Paige, okay.
A little bit different.
Paige, you won one of your first huge titles as a junior and amateur in 2010 in Colorado.
That was 2010. I was a junior. I won the junior 16 and under world championships.
By a lot.
It was a lot. And it's funny. At that point, I've been playing, competing for so long, and the girls I played against, they were so nice, but you could just tell.
You were not in the right field, so to speak.
It was play so up. Fun. That one's so cool.
Yeah. So did
play up, people. Come on, play up.
Yeah. Who cares that you're 16? So you, after that, went to start playing more advanced, or did you go straight to playing FPO?
I did one more year of playing amateur. Because the following year, 2011, I played AM Worlds in the AM Women's Division. I got third. But then after that tournament, I turned pro.
So you're pro in 2012. I'm doing the math in my head really quick at the age of 16.
Something like that, yeah.
Somewhere around there. Close enough. Mm-hmm. I'm counting on my fingers. Okay. And then Grady, you talked about playing a lot, but when did it become like, I'm now playing tournaments and then become I'm competing or even winning a lot at the AM division. So it's time to go MPO. How did that happen for you? And when did that happen for you?
Yeah. So I've always played sports growing up, and I've always been like into like competition and stuff like that. But disc golf was like the first like singles sport I really did like really competitively. I played tennis a little bit in high school, but that did nothing very serious. But as soon as I transferred to Charlotte and started playing collegiate stuff, I didn't see a reason not to play tournaments because I thought it was a good way to test your skills. It was a good way to see how good you are as a disc golfer.
And it's fun competing and playing with people. And it's just another reason to get out and meet more people at tournaments and stuff.
But I wasn't really playing that. I was playing a lot. And I played a lot more the more I was in disc golf. So I'd probably say 2016 is when I made the move from advanced to open. I never won an advanced tournament, so I never even got to play like at Worlds or anything like that. But I just jumped straight into MPO because I remember doing well enough in 2016 to there was no reason to keep playing down.
Grady, we lost you there in the middle of talking about when you started playing and competing at a high level in tournaments, but we lost you, I think, for a really good reason. It was all that noise from the gallery. Paige, you had to walk off, and you've now brought in a third person here in the interview booth. Who can you tell us who has joined the two of you?
Our beautiful daughter, Savannah, is now sitting with us. She wanted to be part of the action.
even though she doesn't care about what's going on here, she's clearly still watching cartoons.
She's watching Blue's Clues or something over there. So let's just, this is a kind of a perfect moment
to jump forward
in the timeline. So how old is Savannah? I'm terrible at guessing any woman's age, including a toddler. So I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
She's almost two-ish. All right.
And January 16th, she'll be two.
And we're waving at each other here, but she is so interested in Bugs Bunny or whatever, and I don't blame her in the slightest. She's looking over there.
So you guys moved to Charlotte in 19, got married, and then had this beautiful girl. And as we both know, that totally changes everything.
Yeah. Real quick, how did you all meet? How did that, the phase before the phase, how did that go down?
We were both touring. I was touring full time in 2018, and Paige jumped on the tour like summerish of 2018. And I remember seeing her at a few events before, and I was like, "Oh, who's that?" I was traveling with some friends. I was traveling with Kevin Jones back then, and him and Paige were going to do World Dubs. So I was like, hey, let's all get around together. I think Utah Open, back when it was at Mulligan's. And we ended up playing a practice round out there and just kind of hung around with each other at tournaments after that.
Yeah, pretty much. Just playing disc golf together. Best way.
Yeah.
And the congratulatory high fives at the end of the rounds kept getting longer. And more awkward.
Turning into hugs.
It turned into a hug, and then
2018 was also a pretty life-changing year for you, Paige. You won your first world title in FPO at Smugs. Couldn't have been a better place to win. Tell us a little bit about winning your first world championship and your excitement that we return there this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was crazy. Crazy. Well, definitely one of the best weeks of my life. Lots of weeks up there. But yeah, it was awesome. It was incredible. I've been playing pretty well leading up to that event. And so I felt like I was pretty in tune with my game. And yeah, winning was awesome. My parents were there caddying for me, and they've been alongside me through this whole dream. I've always wanted to be a world champion. I mean, when I first got into the sport, like Valerie Jenkins, Des Redding, they were all so awesome. And I'm like, whoa, world champions? And so it's always been a dream of mine. And having my parents there was awesome in Vermont. Oh, so beautiful. The courses are so much fun, so different from each other, Brewster and Fox Run. So it couldn't have been more perfect. And that is why I'm super excited that it'll be back at Smugs this year. So hoping if I win there, I'm undefeated at Smugs at Worlds anyways. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
For our listeners who do not know, Paige's middle name is Muggs. So she has a great connection with that area.
Mm-hmm. It's Muggs. Is it Muggs or Smugs?
Mugs. So close, but we say what, Mugs at Smugs?
Yeah.
Mugs at Smugs.
That's in the running for the most unique middle names I've ever heard. Mugs. That's fantastic. Is there, I got to ask, is there a story? Is there something behind that?
Yeah. Great grandmother's name was Margaret and her nickname was Mugs. I don't know how that came about, but that's my middle name.
There you go. All right. Grady, what's your middle name?
And also very disc golf appropriate. It's Van.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I was like, he's probably going to say it's something boring. No, it's Van. That's great. All right. So Van and Muggs. That's the name of y'all's on the road vlog. Van and Muggs. The Adventures of Van and Muggs.
Oh, my gosh.
And you guys did the van life for a while. What does...
No.
Well, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you did because you parked at my house. what does that look like moving forward now that we have Savannah?
Yeah, we are super excited that we are going to be using an RV next year or this year now that it's 2023. So a little bit more space. We'll have room for the baby. We'll be able to actually live out of it have, you know, fridge, stove, all that fun stuff. So that's what we're looking forward to next.
Touring upgrade for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I want to dig into that a little bit. This is another one of those things where we'll let our listener sort of behind the curtain, because we were talking before we started recording today about how I think disc golf is getting ready to hit a little bit of a new phase. If you go back into ball golf, traditional ball golf, if you go back before it was super huge, back into like the 30s and 40s and 50s in the last century, you had a lot of primarily men, young, a lot of them not with families, or at least not married and not with children. They're grinding. Even the really successful ones are grinding on the road week in, week out, basically using winnings from one week to make it to the next week. Even the famous ones were like that. Nobody was really super rich yet playing golf, even if they were popular. And then finally, by the time names that we've all heard, like Jack Nicklaus, right? Some of those kinds of names. By the time those golfers came along in the 60s and 70s, you actually had younger championship level players that did have families and that did have kids while they were still up and coming as players. Disc golf right now, you can almost name the level of the number of top level players that have kids and that are, you know, married and stuff. It's really easy to name them. You know, Nate Sexton's got married and has a daughter. You all have a daughter. Kristen Tatar has a daughter. Like, you can, but the list is pretty short. And I think that's Jen. Well, Jennifer has a daughter, but Jen, we've talked a lot about how you're kind of a little bit of a different era and you had a career while playing and stuff.
He
like
just
that.
Called me old as politely as possible. Oh,
yeah. I did. We do that to each other. But I think we're getting ready to, I think that's something that's going to change in disc golf. And I think there are going to be more and more 20 something and early 30 something players that are family oriented too, and have kids too, and then are traveling with family or leaving family and coming home. You all are pioneers in that. You guys are kind of on the early side of that phase. How are you all setting yourselves up for success in terms of support, in terms of what if you guys are on the road together and both of you have the same tee time, and or both of you are, you know, there's two courses. I mean, how are you guys going to handle that stuff?
I don't want to do all the talking. We're pretty much, so a lot of family support and a lot of alternating tournaments. So I don't even made up our little mock schedule the other day. Well, it's been a few times, but anyways, and it looks like probably we're not playing every pro tour. So we'll start with that. We're not going to every single elite series event. But we are going to play a lot of them, and we're either alternating who plays. So I will miss a few tournaments. Grady will miss a few tournaments. But we will be in the RV. So Grady will be playing and I'll watch Savannah for the week. And then the next week we'll switch. And then there are some like stints where we're leaving Savannah here with Grady's parents who are helping us a lot. And so we'll play some tournaments, just us two. And then there are a few tournaments where we'll be out on the road, but like my mom is going to come watch the baby, or my sister's going to come to watch and help us out. So that's the plan right now, just alternating and figuring out when we can both play. And if we can't, you know, us just choosing who wants to play that tournament.
Okay.
Right. It definitely makes it, throws a kink into it, but it also, I think, you know, it can be a good and a bad distraction. You know, when you have that bad round or that good round, you know, there's somebody else there that makes you happy or you get to celebrate with. We all know that our children are the joy of our life. So I think it'll be not only a little bit more difficult, you'll be a little busier than most of the touring pros, but it's also a good distraction out there as well.
I think so. And I think what's nice is the fact that we can't play every tournament and we're like forced mm-hmm. to take breaks pretty much. I think it'll give us a nice mental recharge and get us refocused for our next event.
Absolutely.
I know that you guys have some things in the work right now with regard to sponsorships, and you may not be ready to reveal those. There may not be anything to reveal yet. I don't know. I'll leave that to you to share what you want. But even if you can't share some of the specifics, what are you all planning to do off the course, if anything, in terms of business? Are you planning to do any other things in addition to just playing the events when it comes to y'all's branding and y'all's, you know, your income streams, right, to support you on the road? What are you all planning to do there?
Yeah, so for us, we have to do our, yeah, we'll post, you know, do social media. That's going to be pretty big and important to take up time. We're hoping to do YouTube as well. We have a YouTube channel, but we haven't really used it in a couple of years because, you know, we're not touring anymore. But I also do some work for the Sake Bomb Foundation. And I plan to continue that. So shout out Sake Bomb Foundation donates baskets and discs to schools across the country for free. It's a really awesome, awesome program that's going on, and I'm doing some work for them, some like administrative work and some social media. So I will probably keep doing that. And then Grady has some stuff he's doing.
Yeah. I work at another round. I have been since a little over a year now, which is like a disc golf shop in Charlotte, and they have like a pretty big online presence as well. But I've been doing that for a little over a year, and that's how I kind of have made a little bit of money, especially in 2021 because I wasn't playing that much. And I think in 2022 I was playing a little bit more events. We both started playing a little bit more frequently since Savannah was a little bit older. But that's been kind of the main thing for me.
So, Paige, you were with DD for 13 years. Definitely a lot of deeper, kind of like when Kona left Innova, you know, her father works for Innova. How is that being dynamic? How does that throw in, you know, more family history that you now are leaving DD, a company that your father works for and has been such a huge part of for so many years?
Honestly, a lot of people have asked about that, you know, like, was it hard leaving? Dad's there, your mom works there, you've worked there. Yeah, I mean, all the history of it. And honestly, not really, you know, I wanted to do what was best for me, and I just felt like it was time for a nice change, something new. And my parents support me, and, you know, they don't care what logo.
Right.
But yeah, right. A little bittersweet, but you know, looking forward to the future and see what happens.
Do you, we didn't really get there a minute ago, so I'll go ahead and ask outright just for the listener's sake. Do you have your next plans, both of you all? Do you have your next plans in terms of sponsorship or other support set yet? Are there things ongoing? How's that?
For my side, it's 99% set. There's just 1% that we're waiting on, but it's pretty much 100%. But Grady's
I'm about 99% as well.
Oh, really?
Where I'm,
Nice.
Well, you are. Yep. You just told Paige for the first time.
Yeah, we're pretty solid.
Hey, honey, we're almost ready. You're pretty solid, but not ready to make any announcements just
not
yet?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, I had to ask. All right. Journalism 101, check the box, and I've done my job and moving on. Can you talked about how you're going to be able to take care of yourselves on the road, alternating tournaments and things. Do you already have your schedule at least roughly mapped out? Can you tell us events right now that you know that you'll be at, or events that you know you won't be at, just so that we can start knowing when to watch for you all?
Yeah. So my first tournament will be Vegas. I'm just flying out there just to give my discs, I don't know, a new try out there in the win. And I won Vegas a few years ago. So yeah, I'm going out there by myself. Grady won't be there. But our swing starts our first like RV stint. We're doing a few stints here and there. We won't be out like full time.
Okay.
But our first one is the Texas swing, which is Waco, the Open at Austin, and then Texas State. So we'll be at those three events. We both are playing Waco, which I'm really excited about. I love Waco. And then I'm playing Texas States, and then Grady is playing. I'm sorry. I'm playing the Open at Austin, and Grady's playing Texas States.
Okay.
So that's the first stint, and then we're doing, what's the next stint? Like DDO, Des Moines, and Missouri.
Maybe. I think so, yeah.
And we're both playing DDO, and then I'm playing Des Moines, and Grady's playing Preserve.
I'm playing DDO. I don't remember.
They're gonna paper, rock, scissor the entire year.
Yeah, that just gives you an idea. Like we're alternating a lot, and so we're gonna be at most of the majors that are state. I think all the majors that are stateside.
Yeah.
So you know, okay. World's USDGC Champions Cup, that's on the list, and pretty much 8-9 Elite Series each probably.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys went camping or anything with Savannah yet? Has she tested out the RV life?
No, not yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. We're kind of diving in. Yeah. Our RV isn't ready yet. Well, I think we're going to get it like the end of this month. So we're planning on testing that out a little bit. But
yeah, hopefully she likes it.
I know.
Yeah, it's exciting. Always new places. She's at a good age, you know, to where like, hopefully she'll think all of that is neat and, you know, she'll get to grow up seeing so much, whether she remembers it or not. But there's lots of things for her to get out and do. And hopefully she doesn't need a ton of space to keep her entertained right now.
Yeah, well.
Go
ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask, is it an RV or a trailer?
It's an RV, like the drivable.
It's an RV. So everyone's in there and living while you're driving.
Yes.
Which I think is significant compared to a trailer because you can't be in the trailer right, yeah, while you're driving. So everyone's still stuck in the car.
Yeah.
But that's, mm-hmm, that's significant. She can be back there watching whatever cartoons that she's watching right now in the back of the RV.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we have plans. We haven't talked details yet, but, you know, we don't want to. We'll try to break up the driving into, you know, maybe 4 hours max. I don't know, and make sure we're stopping, spending time with her, showing her everything. And the really awesome part is that this, our plan is for 1 year. Grady and I aren't signing anything for longer than 1 year just because we don't know how it's going to work. So if she absolutely hates it and just is a disaster, you know, we gave it a shot and, you know, we're not committed to anything too crazy. So that's nice.
Paige, you went back and finished up getting your degree at UNC here very recently. Is there things that, you know, that you want to do in the future besides disc golf?
Yes, that's a hard question. Yes. My life has always been all disc golf. So it's hard that I haven't really been able to try a lot of new things, you know, like try my interests. So there's a lot of interests and I like want to do a million different things. But you know, if the time comes to settle down and get a real job, I have some ideas of what I'd like to do.
Do you want to tell our listeners what your degree was in? And I know you used to love teaching and math, but I think you ventured off just a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before touring and stuff, I went to college for a couple of years and I was going to be a high school math teacher. But after I took my break, teaching, I wasn't really like into it anymore. And, you know, disc golf, I started touring, so I didn't really care. But when I was pregnant, you know, I was pregnant and I'm like, man, you know, I won't be able to tour. Now's a good time to just finish my degree. So I talked to an advisor and I was like, hey, what's the fastest degree I could get? You know, I just want something. I know maybe that sounds bad, but, you know, just having that paper is the important part. So there are a few options I ended up choosing sociology. Which is pretty interesting. It's kind of super vague. I can do a lot of different things with it. But that's just kind of where I ended up. And it's pretty cool learning about it and everything. And I think my involvement with disc golf and having that degree, you know, once it's time to stop competing, I think my connections and networks with, you know, everybody, it's like kind of what disc golf is. I think I'll be able to find something that I'm interested in.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Grady, what did you study?
I went to school
other than Paige.
Yeah. I went to school a while ago. It's been, I think, almost like 5 years since I've been in school. But I was originally going for biology when I went to UNC Wilmington in 2013 and 2014. And then when I transferred to Charlotte, I was doing business. And I went there from 2014 to the first semester of 2016, I think. I think that was the last time I went to college, so I didn't get a degree, but I started playing disc golf, so that kind of took over my course of life for a second.
But you still had an area of study. Do you begin now to think about what you want to do? If you mentioned you're keeping things really open for the future, depending on how Savannah takes to life on the road, or depending on how you all decide you want to sort of divvy up each of your playing time. If you, for now you're working with another round, do you foresee staying in disc golf, even if it's not as a week in, week out touring player? Do you foresee that kind of like sort of business or media related sort of career, or what is it that sort of, has you interested other than throwing plastic circles?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, at least purely for disc golf. I mean, I've always enjoyed, like, just throwing it. So I could see myself always, you know, having fun casually. I don't know. Well, you never know where the game's going to go. It's like, who knows what, like, a Masters tour will be like in, like, you know, 2040 or whatever, whenever I turn 40. But I did see that Callie was doing a Masters tour, so that's really cool. So who knows how big that could be. But I'm really not sure. I don't know how many opportunities I'll have in disc golf. And I'm really at a weird spot right now because I'm still attempting to, like, play disc golf competitively and perform well at events and stuff. So that's kind of my main concern. If a good enough opportunity came, I would probably pursue something like that in disc golf. I never saw myself staying in disc golf forever, like always being a competitor or changing it up and either like helping out in disc golf, like giving more like youth clinics and stuff like that. I hadn't like super thought about that yet.
Interesting stuff. Here's a complete change of pace. When I'm talking to people in my area that are just getting into the sport, and they say, how can I get, you know, tips to be a better player? You know, I might share with them a few mm-hmm. things that I know, or have them, you know, watch me throw and tell them what parts of my throw to watch and what parts of my throw to ignore. And the parts to ignore are many. But another thing that I often will tell people is I'll try to tell them a pro that has maybe a similar body type. Or I see that person throw and I go, you know, you kind of throw like this person. You kind of have, you know, there's something to your throw that looks a lot like Jennifer Allen or whatever. You should go on YouTube and find a tournament with coverage where she's one of the players and just watch her throw a little bit. And you might glean some things because you're built the same or what. Of course, nobody's as mm-hmm. strong as Jennifer Allen. But if I were to give that same advice to somebody, you know, out on the course next week and say, hey, there's a couple of players that are going to be mm-hmm. playing more this year than they have been. I really think you need to watch Grady Hsu and you might glean some things. Well, yeah. Can you give us a little insight, both of you, into how you would sort of define your game, your style of play, how you get around the course?
Oof. Yeah.
You want to go first? Yeah. It's different. You know, when I was playing a few years ago, my game was really like conservative. I was pretty safe, you know, trying to minimize mistakes, shooting around par, doing what I needed to have clean rounds. So I wasn't quite aggressive. I was throwing a lot of slower speed stuff when I had the opportunities. And so that was always one of my strong suits. But I feel like nowadays competition is a lot better. And I've been practicing the more aggressive plays, you know, ever since I've been in Charlotte, especially with these woods. I mean, if you're timid with a putter or you're timid with a driver, it's going to be hard out in these woods. So, I don't know. I'm, you know, that's funny you ask that, especially with, I'm going to have new discs and kind of a new mindset. And some of these courses that are on tour are different now than when I last played them. So I don't really know the answer to that yet, but now that you asked that, I'm really excited to kind of figure that out and see what my game kind of develops into now that, you know, everything's so new.
I had the opportunity of playing with Paige at Throw Pink. We both got the first aces by women at Winthorpe. I would have to say, Paige, your game is very well-rounded. You know, as she, like she said, she's very clean, minimizing mistakes, but your putting is also, was still incredible. So do you guys do a lot of putting practices since you can't maybe always go out to the course with Savannah?
Yeah, it's honestly interesting how we squeeze our practice in. It used to be fine when she was in her, she was pretty good in a stroller till she was about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be fine walking course as long as they were flat. We didn't do anything crazy. But now that she's older, she hates being in the stroller because she just wants to walk around.
Yep.
So Grady and I like literally never play together anymore. Mm-hmm. It's rare because one of us has to watch the baby. So we alternate. We have a basket in our garage. Our yard isn't very good for putting, and usually the only time we have to putt is when Savannah's napping or it's bedtime. So we can't putt because we don't want to wake her up. So we putt in the garage when we can. We alternate you know, field work, or we like to go to parks where there's a course and a playground. And so we'll switch. So we'll go, Savannah and I will be at the playground and Brady throws, and then we'll switch. Just things like that. Anything we can squeeze in. And some days it's just literally throwing like 15 putts in the garage. But we, you know, work out, and we try to like do other things that are going to help our body in the long run, which then helps our game.
Absolutely.
Grady, how would you describe your game? That was a really abrupt way for me to end that question. Your game. No, there's like no question mark. But no, how would you describe your style of getting around the course, maybe relative to other players? Are you leaning on distance? Are you leaning on finesse? Are you leaning on putting?
Yeah, so I pretty much learned how to play disc golf in Charlotte. I think I started in 2014, and that's like right when I moved here. So that's, I started playing like Hornets Nest and Evan, like Renaissance, a bunch of other really great like advanced level courses around here. And I played those for, it was like 4 years straight, I think, from 2014 to 2018. And that's when I started like touring. So it's weird that I played in the woods, but I can throw far enough to where I could say that distance is like a good strong suit of mine. Recently I have been having to work on my sidearm, because I've always enjoyed being able to throw any shot that I can, and the best shot for like the hole required. So with my sidearm actually coming up, I've been throwing sidearms a lot more than just, I used to be mostly backhand. So that's been really nice, because I can really commit and trust myself that I have, you know, the skills for every shot. Like, I guess now I can finally throw like a far enough sidearm. I could throw like a sidearm, I don't know, over 300 feet finally. That's really nice. But that's been super helpful. My putting's always been pretty good.
It's crazy how the game has adapted to where it's almost necessary to have both a backhand and a forehand, you know.
Yeah.
Years ago, forehands just really weren't a thing.
They were trick shots.
So the game, yeah, the game has definitely evolved to where you almost have to have both to compete at the highest level.
Yeah, I was able to sneak away with some stuff back in the day.
Yeah. Same.
What courses this year are you all looking forward to most? And I guess that's a two-pronged question, because one, it's just what do you, maybe you think it's a pretty course or it's a beautiful area, but another might be a course that you feel like you have, you know, an advantage at or something because it fits your game. What courses for the two of you are you all looking forward to this year?
I guess like purely to play, I'm looking forward, I mean, to the world's courses. Those are awesome and beautiful, and it's always great going up there. I think it's been a few years since we've been to, so I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know who's playing MVP out of us. I think you. We don't know who's doing that one. But that's one that I've always played well at.
There, think, Maple Hill, yeah.
Yeah, my worst finish, I think, is like 10th out of, I don't know, three times I've played there. I'm not sure. Two times, I think.
For me, I'm really looking forward to Champions Cup. I love that course. And we love Georgia, like we talked about a little bit earlier. And then, yeah, Smugs, of course, Waco. I love Waco. I think that course does suit my game well, because there's, it's, you know, tight and wooded, and so I can use the slower speed stuff. But, you know, you get to air some out in the, you know, the first few holes and the last few holes. So I love that Waco course. And I feel like, it's satisfying to shoot well there. You know, there's some courses like you do well and you're like, yeah, whatever. But like, if you stay clean at Waco, it's just it's the nicest thing ever. So those are the ones I'm looking forward to.
And you talked about your huge win at Las Vegas a few years back. I was there. It was a dramatic playoff that you won on hole one against Katrina. Are you excited to kick the year back off there at a place that you also played very well at?
Yes, I am. Actually, yeah, I played that tournament three times. I won that first time. And then the second time was it 2020? I think, yeah. I was even in contention, and going into the final round, I was back fewer strokes than I was when I won against Katrina. And so I do feel like that course does play well to my game. I grew up playing in Colorado. There's not a lot of woods golf in Colorado, except in the mountains, but I lived in Denver. And so I just feel like my distance shots and just kind of getting up and down when it's pretty easy, pretty wide open, you know, I feel like that's also a strong suit of mine. So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing there and in the wind. yeah, it's a lot. But I'm excited to try out my new discs, and really, like, that's going to be the first big tournament with them. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun.
Prying journalist question here, so forgive me, but you're very casually mentioning the term new discs. So it sounds like even though you're not quite to the point of announcing sponsorships, it sounds like you're already putting your bag together. You've already got some knowledge of what it is you're going to be throwing and all that. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually have had these discs for a while now, which has been really nice. I feel like I'm just kind of getting a leg up almost, and you know, figuring out, dialing in the bag, like, what disc do I like and all that. And now that it's January and the first tournament's a few months out, like, I pretty much know what's in my bag, and so now I'm able to get the reps in and really learn how they fly. And so, yeah.
Okay, so not gonna announce anything yet, but if you play a practice round with Paige, sneak a peek into the bag, and then give me a call. You know where to find me, so I can break the no, I'm kidding, I'm not gonna.
Has it been pretty easy, Paige, switching to, you know, like, your favorite disc from Dynamic for so many years? Have you found something that flies very similar, or are you finding very, you know, just totally different new disc that you like to throw more or less?
Yeah, it hasn't really been that hard. I thought it was going to be because, you know, I've been with Dynamic for so long and I've been throwing Trilogy for so long. But it really wasn't that hard. It was just exciting trying new discs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of right now in between, you know, on the line of like, okay, what disc is going to fly like my old discs versus what do these new discs do? You know, like, mm-hmm. try not to compare them. You know, there are some shots I relied on heavily that I think is easy to transfer over with the new discs. But there's some other ones that I just like seeing that my new discs fly. I've never seen my other disc fly like that. So
nice.
You know, there's a lot of everything and all that comes with that. But yeah, I'm having fun throwing all the new discs.
There's so many discs by so many manufacturers. I think I saw the PDGA post, Grant, that showed how many new discs they just approved.
A couple of hundred.
Yeah. And that's kind of been the same thing for the last couple of years through COVID. So I think every manufacturer makes enough discs now that you can easily find a bag that you can make every shot happen with. So just trusting your confidence and your shot is going to be key.
Yep.
Well, we've kept you guys long enough, I think. I hear the noise in the gallery continuing there in the background, and I know that you guys have loads of other responsibilities. But before we let you go, Jennifer and I like to play a game whenever we have a twosome on our show. It's a game called Who of You Two. It's kind of like the Newlywed Game. It's our own twist on it. You guys willing to play before we let you go?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we're going to play a round of Who of You Two. Guys, we like to play this game whenever we have a couple on the show, whether it's a married couple or any family members or something like that. I see you've got Savannah back here with you sitting on, so maybe it's more like Who of You Three. I don't know. But we're going to go ahead and play a quick round of Who of You Two. And it's pretty self-explanatory. It goes a little something like this. It's relevant for you because you guys are going to be driving and on the road a lot. So who of you two is the better driver? Grady,
I also drive more.
Grady, this is an audio format, so just raising your hand's not going to work. You're going to have to say out loud.
I forgot.
So who of you two is the better driver? Go ahead. Probably Grady.
that was a definite.
I drive a lot.
What about when you guys are out driving around? Who gets to pick the restaurant?
Yeah, usually Paige.
Yeah.
Who of you two? It's Paige picking the restaurant. Okay, makes perfect sense. Is I don't care a common choice that turns into caring a lot? Because that's what happens in my house. I say to my wife, where do you want to eat? And she says, I don't care. And I go, how about Chili's? And she goes, no. And I go, okay, well, how about, you know,
yeah, not there.
How about there? No. Okay, how about there? No. And I was like, well, you care. You clearly care.
Pretty much neither of you will be picking the restaurant soon enough. It's going to be Savannah picking every restaurant.
Right. She'll want her chicken tenders.
That's right.
Chicken tenders everywhere. Who of you two, and this matters when you're living in close quarters on the road too, Who of you two is the messier of the two?
Me, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm usually a little organized. Paige is cleaner, but I'm more organized.
There you go. All right. That's an interesting dynamic. Paige is going, I don't know about that.
It's kind of a compliment.
Yeah. Sort of saying something nice about each other.
Well, since we're talking about being on the road and now you will be having a kitchen in the RV, who of you two cooks the most? Who's the better cook?
Paige cooks more, but I'm the better cook.
Oh, another.
I like these backhanded compliments.
Paige, I need to ask this. Paige, do you agree with that?
No.
I cook more.
No, I would say we're equally as skilled, but I do cook more. But when Grady does cook, it's good, but I don't know.
Do you guys just like different styles of food? Like, is his favorite thing to cook maybe not your favorite thing to eat?
No, we like what we make.
Yeah.
I just think Grady talks himself up too much. His meals are okay.
Well, I make a good breakfast sandwich.
Well, you know, here on PDGA Radio, we're all about, you know, fostering healthy relationships. So,
yeah. Well, since you both are answering questions like this, who is the most competitive?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we're both pretty competitive. Paige loses more, so she's, you know.
Oh.
So you see her competitive side more.
Yeah.
You see the frustration.
I'm more verbal when I get upset that I lose.
So what you're saying is y'all don't play Monopoly too much.
No.
It's probably good.
We have no time for that anymore.
That's probably good for a healthy marriage too. You don't need to play Monopoly too often with your. Who of the two of you is better at calming Savannah down?
Probably the same, honestly. Yeah. She loves us both pretty equally. It's not like she's like, Mama or Dada, we're blessed. We get to spend a lot of time with her together. So both of us do the job.
Nice.
I think for me, when my first was at Savannah's age, my wife was better at calming her down unless the calm down required a lot of distraction. Because then it can be like, oh, look at Dad. He's being a moose or whatever, you know, and then that sort of would help. Who of you two is the fix-it person? Something's broken around the house. Something's broken with the vehicle. Who of you two is the fix-it person?
Usually me. I'm not much of a mechanic. I've tried fixing my car, and it doesn't work for that long. So we usually just take it to a mechanic.
Yeah. Smart.
We're not fix-it people, unfortunately. We call people to help us. We're not just the experts.
What about the computer? We discovered on our last podcast that Ricky Wysocki is actually quite the computer person. Does anyone know how to fix a computer out of the two of you?
Oh, yeah, who's the more tech savvy?
I don't even know.
Who is the more tech savvy in general?
Probably Paige.
Yeah, I think
that one. Maybe Savannah with how much time she spends on the phones.
It will be soon. Trust me, very soon, anything that you need done will be like technology-wise, it goes straight to the kids.
Maybe this one reveals itself more. Mm-hmm. It might reveal itself more when you're playing a game, like a board game, or maybe it reveals itself more when you're, I don't know, out on the course trying to ace, you know, or something. Who of the two of you would you say is the luckier of the two of you?
Me, because I pulled a world champion as a wife.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. There we go. He earned a point back.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm throwing that softball a minute ago going, come on, Grady. Hit it out of the park. Come on, man.
Thanks,
man. Good job. Well done. Bros got to stick together.
Okay, since we brought it back around to that, who said I love you first?
Technically, Paige.
Oh, there's a story behind that, Paige. Would you like to give your version?
Come on.
Grady's the one. He was like, this is personal.
Come on.
He was like, do you love me? No, did I say it?
No, I did.
He was like, do you love me? And I was like, I think I do. Like, I think I knew, but I was afraid to, I mean, I did, but I didn't, that was just a weird way to be like, you love me.
He tricked her. He's a trickster. That's like
backward. Instead of him saying it, he formed it in the phrase. This isn't Jeopardy, Grady. You don't have to form it in the phrase of a question. So you said to Paige, "Do you love me?" And her response was, "I think I do."
Yeah. And then I said,
I mean, that's a t-shirt right there. Do you love me? I think I do. That's fantastic. Now, I got to ask, though, where did this happen on the disc golf course? Did this happen, like, at the end of a date? Did this happen in the middle of a crowd of thousands of people? And, I mean, how did the – what was the context here?
It was after a date, and we had a nice make-out session. You know, we were just feeling, you know. Okay.
And then 9 months later came Savannah.
I had
– not that extent, but you know,
we're pretty close.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I didn't.
This see what episode you did, Grant.
PG, yeah. This episode of PG Radio rated PG-13. When it comes to your garage putting contests, who wins most often?
My Grady. Right?
No, no.
She's a good putter.
Yeah.
I'm going to defend Paige. Paige is a great putter.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's, but I'm one of those people who like literally sucks when I practice, like practice runs before tournaments or, I mean, putting practice, I'm the off, like the worst, but once tournament time comes, I'm able to not suck. I don't know why, but so
putting,
I
can tell you Owen Scoggins is the exact same way. I have practiced so much with Owen. And she'll be all over the place. And then we'll play like four rounds of the tournament together. And I'm like, you never hit that one time in practice. And you
like, yeah, it's crazy.
So you just have that competitiveness, like you talked about, you both being very competitive, that drives you to excel. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Well, I think with that, this has been a solid, if not slightly more revealing than usual. Playing of who of you two. Well done, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we agreed on almost everything.
Hi,
Savannah. We got the wave hi. Without taking the thumb out of the mouth, just the wiggling the fingers. That's fantastic.
Does Savannah have anything she wants to add to the show?
Do you want to say something? Can you say hello? Can you say hi?
Can you say disc golf? Oh.
Can you say, what can she say?
What is Savannah's favorite animal?
Oh. Ooh. I don't know if she has a favorite.
She liked giraffes a while ago.
Yeah, giraffes, elephants. She loves like making the noise and moving her arms.
Yeah. She likes frogs.
Frogs are fun.
Yeah.
She's just not getting into the animals and playing with all the animals.
Yeah. And she has her blanket. Is that my son had a bee and he still to this day has his bee. You can, like it is found. Does she have like a stuffed animal or a blanket that she likes more?
Yeah, this one. It's like a burrito blanket.
It's one side. Yeah. It's like a tortilla. And Grady actually got it for me. Yeah.
A long time ago.
Born. So it's really cute that she uses it.
Aww.
So that's the item that you are most likely to have to drive back 100 miles to the Cracker Barrel to retrieve because you realize that you left it there.
Oh yeah.
That's the item, that blanket.
That's the one.
Well, Jennifer, I think our job is done here. I mean, I think we know just about all there is to know about Grady and Paige Hsu. But I know that's going to change in just a matter of weeks. You guys have sponsorship deals in the works that are going to be finalized. You guys are going to, starting with you, Paige, at Las Vegas, you're going to start hitting the road on this new chapter in your adventure, both personally and professionally as disc golfers, but also as a couple, and in this case, as a family. So I have little to no doubt that we are going to be checking in with you all in some form or another a little bit later on in 2023, just to see how things are going and to see what parts of this year are going exactly as you planned and what parts of this year are completely out of left field and you did not see that coming, because I think that is going to make for a really interesting conversation.
Oh, yeah. We'll take it on no matter what.
Do you guys have the date set for when you're going to make this announcement?
No.
I tried one more time.
Good job. Journalism 101. Ask awesome. The question again, but ask it in a different way and see if it works. That's perfect. Well done. We want to thank you guys for spending a whole hour plus of your time on this busy Monday morning to join us here on PDGA Radio. You guys have a great year. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
And just like that, we are kicking off 2023. So much exciting news and events to come. And I am very excited. How about you, Grant?
I can't wait. I can't believe we're 6 weeks-ish, maybe 7, 8. I don't know. I'm bad at counting on a calendar. We're that far away from the first Elite Series events of the year. It feels so far away. And yet you and I both know it's going to, we're going to blink and it's going to be here.
I'm nervous how close it is, honestly. I definitely did not have the full off season that I was planning for. And so I feel like I've got a lot of catching up to do personally. So it's going to be here in a blink for sure for me.
You and me both. Well, not only that coming up, but also lots more great content coming your way on PDGA Radio in 2023. We'll see you soon.
Bye.